The problem with knowledge is it's an inexhaustible craving. The more of it you have, the less you feel you know.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are bringing you all the updates you need on whether or not you should read that book your friend sent you on Book Talk. And we are busy girls trying to manage our schedules and help you do the same. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. So for this week, we are covering a book that you might have seen on Book Talk, and it recently came out last year. So it is The Atlas Six by Olivia Blake. And this book, the best way to describe it is magicians, a group of magical magician people. They're called magicians. Don't give me that face, Caitlin.
Called Medeans.
Yeah.
They're called magicians.
They're called Medeans.
Medeans.
God damn it. Anyway. It's a group of magical beings of people who are invited to this ultra secret society. They're the best of the best to not necessarily compete, but kind of compete to get a spot in this secret society, the Alexandrian Society. It's based off of the Library of Alexandria. They are shipped away to this house in England, and they have to live together, protect the secrets. And for a year, they all hone their crafts and hone their magical powers to then one of them getting eliminated from the group. So it's the six of them, and it would be down to five by the end of the year. And then stuff ensues from there, because every secret organization has secrets, as surprising no one. Yeah, it kind of goes in some wild turns from there.
All right. Yeah. So we each went and got some reviews to bring to you from the internet. I would like to go first because mine is short and sweet.
Oh, good.
This is a 4-star review from Storygraph user Pages of Jess. Loved the story, but I've never felt so dumb.
You know,
that's very true.
Yeah.
There were parts I was reading this book and I was like, I think I need more IQ points to read this.
Well, that's the weird thing, is it's written so simply and it's not really that complex of a story, but then they add in very complex topics that you're just like, I don't have a degree in quantum mechanics.
There's lots of physics, which I did find very interesting, but there are parts where the descriptions, I'm like, I just need a minute. Like, I just need to keep reading because I'm not going to fully get it. I just need to kind of accept it.
And here's a disclaimer. Picturing
some like Dr. Strange circles floating around and calling good.
Yeah. These are three political science English journalism nerds. And I was like,
that's what I was about to say.
Much math.
Disclaimer, when we're talking about this physics stuff, none of us have a basis in physics. So we have no idea if any of this is accurate. And it went over most of our heads.
Yeah,
I don't math.
None of us math. I haven't mathed in years. But I'll go next. I have a 5-star review from Goodreads. And from Liz with a heart. And she says, I'm so happy I found a new group of morally gray characters to obsess over.
They're definitely morally gray.
Yeah.
This is a book with no heroes. So obviously I really liked it, but not a lot of morally pristine people.
Everyone had their faults.
Yeah.
There's anti-heroes. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Lots of anti-heroes and some actual just villains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting rooting for the anti-hero. Sorry, I had to do it.
Guys, Catherine loves Taylor Swift. There it is.
Y'all love Taylor Swift.
I do too.
Yeah. I do. Don't throw me out there as if I'm the only one. We all love all right. Taylor Swift.
Catherine loves working Taylor Swift into regular conversations. How's that?
That's better.
Not regular conversations, podcast conversations, yes. My review is from Goodreads. It's from Emily with Books with Emily, and she gave it a generous 3 stars. This was a frustrating book to read. Every ever had an itch on your back that you can't scratch. That's how reading this book feels like. I love magical schools and libraries, so this should have been a hit for me. The characters are incredibly unlikable, not in a good way. Too much telling versus showing, and the story was all over the place. The magic was interesting, and there was a lot of potential, so hopefully now that it has been picked up by a publishing company, the rest of the series will improve. I might continue this series if the reviews are positive for book two, but I am not in a rush.
That's actually something I wanted to comment on, because I think this is one of the lowest rated books we've read on the podcast, but I saw a lot of reviews that there was a version that was self-published and then it was edited by a publisher and republished. So I think that there might be some differences between the first version that went out and then like the part of, you know, the official publisher book that went out. And so, yeah, part of, I think, the reason it was lower is that maybe it was, you know, the first cut was a little bit less refined, but I don't know that for sure. I only read the like official publisher version.
I did hear that also, and also only read the official publisher version. So I do not know.
I did not realize that, but now I know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, So you're speaking of reviews. It's on Goodreads. It's a 3.73 out of 5, which is probably one of our lower ones. And then a 4.3 out of 5 on Amazon, which I think is because of the publisher's version was published on Amazon, not necessarily the non-publisher's version, the self-published version.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So do you guys agree with those reviews?
Yeah.
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 I generally do. I ended up really, really liking this book. But, you know, sometimes you read books and you're like, everyone in the world must love this book as much as I love it. It's so good. Everyone has to love it. And then you read books that you love and you're like, I can't really see though why other people would not like this at all. And that was one of these books for me. I was super into it. However, it is not for everyone. And I can totally understand why someone wouldn't like it.
Yeah, I would say this is probably the first time I've ever been like exactly where the Goodreads rating is. I think I'm like at exactly like a 3.73. Like I ended on a 4 quality rating for Goodreads. And that was purely because the ending surprised me. And I really liked the cliffhanger ending. And I want to read book two because of it. Like I like 75% in or 70% in, I was about to give up, like not give up, but like, I wasn't going to read second book. But then once it ended on like what it did, I was like, well, now I have to read the second book. So I think that's where I've ended up.
I ended up at like a 4 because I like dark academia and magical realism. But like, I don't know if that should hold true because I'm actually not terribly interested in reading the next book. Like, I don't know if I care enough to find out what happens. Like, I do want to know, but there are other books I'd like to read more. So I don't know. Like, I did like the story and most of the writing. There were some parts I was like, oh my God, I have no idea what this physics thing means, but I did like it enough. I gave it a 4.
Yes. So I'm so excited. I'm finally the most positive of the group. I gave it a 5 stars. Yeah. I loved it. I'm obsessed with well-done morally gray characters. I think they're so interesting. You guys know I like constantly shit on like basic heroes. So I love books that have sort of more morally complicated characters. The book really, really surprised me. There were twists I did not see coming that had my like actual jaw dropping. And Catherine, I know the twist you're talking about also really surprised me and really intrigued me. So I definitely want to read the next book. Yeah, but I guess to the point of it's not for everyone. Sometimes anti-heroes are really hard to root for because they're not good people. And also...
Yeah, I mean... I liked the anti-heroes. That's not the parts where I was like losing it. It's just, It doesn't have a lot of plot up until like the end.
Which is why I liked it. Basically the whole time the whole first book is about who is going to end up being eliminated. And I personally really enjoyed watching them all interact and try to figure out who that would be and the team dynamics and how their powers interacted with that. So I found it really fascinating. I did also want to mention one of the critiques I saw a lot in the reviews was that it's so pretentious. And I think that's true. I think it is pretentious, but it's a book about the six most talented musicians in the, or not musicians, magicians in the world auditioning to be a part of this incredibly wealthy secret society. So I felt like the pretentious tone fit, but I can understand why not everyone would like it.
I didn't even mind the pretentious tone. Like, it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
that's what I liked do, it.
Yeah, I do understand, though, like, it was a little slow in the sense that, like, a good portion of the book is entirely character development because you need to see inside their heads to see how this elimination is going to go.
Yeah. There's also a twist, which is not the most exciting twist. It's the only one I saw coming. But because of that, it's really important that you understand sort of the moral shifting of everyone, because basically everyone has to agree to this really important decision. And it's really important you understand how they all got there to be on board with this decision. So I know that's very cryptic, but you know, you really can't spoil that in this section.
We'll come back to that later.
Yeah.
So kind of talking about like moral development of the characters, would you lean towards this is more character driven or is it more plot driven?
It's character development for a plot that has not been concluded in the series.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like this is almost 50-50 because the plot is definitely happening to the characters, but it's so heavily character development dependent and all the characters are really developed and are fascinating. Like, it's a lot of the choices end up depending on their development, but the plot still happens to them. So it's kind of like, you know.
I agree. I think I'd lean plot because the characters would not all be together if it weren't for this thing, this Alexandrian society that takes new members every 10 years and has been happening for millennia, you know? So I think I'd lean towards plot driven because the reason they're all there is why they kind of get to know each other and start to change and grow and figure things out.
Yeah, I agree. Have you guys read any other books by the author?
Nope.
I haven't either. I think I actually saw she wrote one that is also getting really popular. It's like Alone in the Ether, Alone in the Ether.
Yeah. And if I went to her web, I did look up her website once and she has a lot of books.
Yeah. I was really surprised because I hadn't heard of her until Atlas Six, but the Atlas Six books and along with that other book I just mentioned have been getting a lot of hype.
What about pacing? How long did it take you to read? Because we mentioned there are some like high level physics thingies in there. I said thingies, that just indicates I'm not equipped to know what they are, but
yeah.
How long did it take you to read it?
I think it took me 2 or 3 days. I blew through it pretty fast. Yeah, but I was really interested.
I think I took about 2 days, two sittings really, because it's a very well-paced book, despite it being so character development and multiple perspectives. It's a very well-paced book. There's just a really, there's a lull point right before like big twists start to happen that it's just, it can drag a bit. But if you get past that point, it is a quick slide down.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it kind of, it slows down and builds up quite a few times. But
I've had to start like keeping track of these things because I never know the actual amount of time. This one took me 5 days, according to my log. I've had a lot going on the last month or so that's probably why. And sometimes it would go through like several pages of the big physics stuff and I'd just be like, whoa, I need a second. But I didn't think the pacing was bad. Like, I wanted to know what was going to happen next. And every time it started to maybe get a lull, there was some sort of little twist that was like, oh, now I'm definitely interested again.
Yeah, I agree with all of those points. And our last question, would you watch a TV or movie series? Oh, would you watch the TV series? Is it being turned into a series? I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Amazon picked it up.
All right, guys, if you've learned anything from our podcast, it's that you actually don't have to read these books because they're all being turned into TVs and movies because they're all popular.
But reading them is the best way to experience them.
TikTok has so much power over
it does.
The media industry. Like, that's what we're learning is TikTok, literally, book talk, you have so much power.
It's so true.
You hype a book up, movie. Done. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is actually, I'm not sure I would watch a TV series about it. I can see this being a series where they cast hot people and not good actors, and make it a little too teen fiction-y. Anyway, I think it's a really good book. I'm a little hesitant to see what the Hollywood world would actually do to it, though, and I'm a little skeptical if they can really pull it off.
Yeah, so, it's too similar to some other magicians magic series that I would be very concerned about how it would go.
There was this, this is so random, but this is what it makes me think of. There was this British, like, TV show geared towards, like, preteens kind of thing that got popular enough, I think, in Britain that it aired on Nickelodeon for a couple years.
Yes. Oh my, I know what
I know what you're talking about.
It's called House of Anubis. And it just reminds me of that. And it's British and it's like all I can think about now. And okay. I'm like,
but House of Anubis kind of slapped.
Yeah. It really, right. My parents would watch it with us. It was kind of awesome. But
the hold
it was
that show
so
had
long.
On me, I loved right. it.
Wasn't it like 100 and something episodes?
I don't know. There were a lot, but they were like privileged people solving these magical mysteries in this house together. And I'm like, oh my God, it's House of Anubis. So,
you just took
honestly,
me such
just
flashback.
Watch that. You don't need to watch this one.
You are so right. And it's so similar.
Uh-huh. That, once it hit me, I was like,
It's totally the exact same vibe. Like
the adult.
Yeah, in the violent. In the aesthetic boards on Pinterest, you know, where people are like, when you were a kid, if you like this, you're like this. These are like the perfect pair.
Oh my God, I'm so shook.
This is like the grown-up, more violent version.
Yeah, I would have never put that together, but that is hilarious. That is so true.
But we knew exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah,
before
we
you
I
said
was so
it.
Shocked. I thought I was like the only person who ever watched that. Me and
no,
my sister,
I love but... that show.
You pulled a forbidden memory from like the very back of my brain.
No, that like, makes sense that the three of us liked that show. The like academic, nerdy, like Egyptian myth of it. Like that makes perfect.
Absolutely.
Now, friendship further solidified.
Yeah.
Right. If you're weirdos like us, please let us know. Did you watch House of Anubis? Thank you.
Oh my God.
I am dead. Okay. Anyway, does that bring us to our busy girl rating?
Yeah, I think it does.
Okay. I think I'm torn. Okay. I think I might give this a busy girl 4.5. I think if you like Art Dark Academia, it's a 5, but the reason that I want to knock it a little bit is there are some sciencey parts that stretch on a little long. There's a few lulls building up to action that are a little long. And so if it's not your thing, you know, I just don't think it's a perfect fit, but I still think it's short enough that even if you don't love it, you can get through it really fast.
Yeah. I would probably say a 4. I'm going to say the same as my quality rating for the same reasons Casey said.
I'm going to drop you to a 3. The premise doesn't totally live up to what I expected from the beginning. And that made me lose interest a little. And also one of my coworkers who I recommended it to after I was like a third of the way in, I was like, oh my gosh, magic and the Library of Alexandria and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, okay, I'm ordering it right now. And we were both kind of like, when we got to the end, shout out to Lisa. But I just think it was kind of high level for a lot of it. Like, and I didn't really come in expecting all of that and wanting to read all of that. So that kind of made it tougher. And also, like, it's not the shortest book. I did like it and I would recommend it, but I don't think if you're super busy that it's necessarily engaging enough to breeze through.
Yeah. I don't know if promo totally matched the description. Like, I don't know if the promo matched the book totally.
I feel like they made it sound like there was going to be more fighting, and it's definitely a lot more like reading.
I just pictured a lot more like adventurous magic-y stuff, not
That's what I'm hoping book two is. The world is small in book one, and I agree. I think this book is best if you know what you're getting into, because you have to know yourself as a reader. Like, I don't think this book is for everyone.
Well, and like we mentioned, there's a lot of anti-heroes in this, so there's not any character you necessarily like, yes, I love you, I'm rooting for you. So I don't know. That's my reasoning for three.
I really want to know who y'all's favorite character is.
Yeah,
because I have a very strong opinion on this.
I am pretty sure Casey and I are going to have the same favorite character, but we'll get into that in our spoiler section, which I think is happening right now.
Yeah.
So spoiler alert. Please stop now if you haven't read it, and go and read it and then join us in this spoiler alert section. So there's Libby and Nico, who you meet first, and they're the like ability to manipulate the physical world. They're the pair, essentially, that you meet in New York. Raina can control plants. I think that's how you say her name. Parisa is a telepath who can read thoughts and manipulate them. Callum is an empath who can play with emotions. And then Tristan has the ability to see through illusions. But yeah, it was kind of hard to keep track of them sometimes. Like, they were very distinct people, except for Libby and Nico, but they're another story. But it is, because you're switching between all of their perspectives, really, except Callum's, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Callum is a piece of shit.
I can agree with.
The villain. That's what I mean when I'm talking about there are villains, though. Callum is the villain. He's the worst. But I think it's powerful. You don't necessarily have someone to root for, but you definitely have someone to root against. And
well, he's like, beyond a sociopath. I don't know what you call beyond.
Well, because it's so interesting because he's an empath, but has no emotions of his own. So he does not give a shit about humanity or people. So he can feel everyone else's emotions and then manipulates them to his own gain.
Right. I think. And this is one of my favorite parts of the book, was that you can really see how they're. Power changes who they are as a person. You see it a lot with Parisa and her whole, you know, sexy woman of the world prostitute vibe.
Even Raina, like, she doesn't want to be beholden to anyone and have to give them anything, because her power has like sucked life out of her whole life.
Yes, and Libby and Nico are both like much more literal, because their powers are rooted in the physical world. And yeah, it was really fascinating, but Callum's power definitely fucked him in the head, because he was a terrible person.
Yeah. But even then, he's a terrible person, but by the end, you're just like, I don't want him to die, though. Like, originally, you're like, okay, yeah, I want him to die. But then, like, you see, like, the thought process behind everything, and just, like, making the decision of who lives and who dies is just such a shitty way of deciding things, that you're just kind of like, yeah, like, this is all fucked.
Oh, it is, but Callum can still die.
Yeah, I'm team right. Callum die. I'm like,
fair enough.
Somehow, when he didn't die, I was like, no. But I was also I did too. I was like, why would you ever leave Tristan alone with him? Tristan is not strong enough for this.
Tristan is such a gullible little boy.
He was just lost. Yeah. I mean, that relates to his power as well, because even though his power was about seeing through things,
he can't see them.
He didn't fully understand how to use it or what its usefulness was. And so he was just a lost boy. I was like,
yeah, because he can see through illusions, but the ability to not even see those illusions means you can't comprehend the world as people see it. So like, you literally don't understand what's going on.
He's constantly seeing a different version of reality to other people. And it's really like confusing for him. And he just can never. Yeah.
Okay, so before we got into some spoilers on the characters, the question was, which is your favorite? And you guys said you thought you'd be on the same page. So now
I'm Parisa.
Parisa, yes! Oh my God, I love
how did I absolutely knew Casey would choose Parisa. I wasn't sure if Catherine would go there, but
She is like a sex goddess, feminist queen. Yes.
At first, I didn't like her at all.
No, of course
not.
But
she won me over bit by bit. Okay, my favorite scene in the whole book is when her and Callum are fighting and she switches it into the brain and then like is watching with everyone. That scene is literally took me from a 4 to a 5-star rating. I was obsessed.
I liked her better when she tangled Libby and Tristan in that like threesome. I was like, damn, that was so clever.
And I loved her. I think part of the difference between her and Callum is that she would use people's thoughts to like give them what they wanted in a way that served her. He would just
kill
force
people.
You. Yeah, he would just manipulate what you already had. And so it was like a subtle difference, but she was a lot more.
It's two different kinds of manipulation, but one comes from a very privileged place of power from Callum. Mm-hmm. And the other comes from a person who understands not having privilege and understands that when you fuck with people, it comes back at you. So she only ever gave people exactly what they what their darkest desires were, which did it helped her. Don't get me wrong. She's still manipulative, but it's coming from a place of she didn't have power growing up as a woman of color in an Arab culture.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have this power. So she's utilizing her power now to get gains for herself.
And she was so smart. I mean, her thinking was next level, like out of this entire group, even Callum, who was also an extreme master manipulator, she totally outmaneuvered him. And it was so interesting and fascinating. I loved her.
Yes. I mean, like, at first I was like, really? Okay, whatever. Yeah. But then once you like got into her head more and how she was manipulating Dalton, how she was getting information, how she was kind of helping other people through a manipulative way. And then the whole Callum thing was glorious. I was so excited.
Because that's why I think of her as like chaotic neutral, is because she didn't want to hurt people, but she would also always serve herself. Callum was more like chaotic evil, where he was like very willing to hurt other people and didn't care about that at all.
And then like Libby's lawful good.
Yeah. Well, not at the end, really. Well, that's what I mean. Society broke her. It broke her lawful goodness. I loved it.
Yeah.
I want to know if you guys can guess which one I would say, since I definitely guessed you guys.
I'm a little torn. Let me look at the list again.
I feel like you're either Reyna or Nico.
That's what I was between, is Reyna and Nico.
I would say Nico.
Yeah.
Because Reyna's my second favorite, but I also really like Nico.
Yeah, Nico's kind of cocky, but I love that he maybe has the most noble purpose for pursuing this, because he's just trying to help other people. And he's overextending himself in the process. And he's also like kind of funny because he's such a cocky asshole.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. You expect Libby to be the hero, but by the end I would probably argue that Nico is actually the hero. Like, he's the only one that genuinely cares about looking for Libby. I feel like he maintained his, you know, moral goodness the most out of all.
He's trying
to
help Gideon the whole time. He's trying to repair the wards of the house. He is like befriending Reyna, who doesn't like anybody. And
despite having secrets and like trying to protect his secrets, he doesn't have ulterior motives, unlike other people.
And like his motives are still self-serving. He wants to protect people he loves, but I don't know. I also like Priest a lot. I was disappointed where Libby went, but I was glad she wasn't like the flat basic character you thought she was going to be.
Yes. So,
yeah.
And actually, Nico ended up being the most conflicted about having to murder someone.
Which I was a little surprised. Like, he had some really good character development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was so interesting how, because Libby was so easily manipulated, essentially, that she could just very quickly turn over to killing Callum, because Parisa had really skillfully played that with the mind manipulation.
Yeah, and her falling out of love with her boyfriend, like she was just on this like descent of getting pulled more and more into the society.
That's the other thing. Parisa used Nico's mind because he was like the best person. Like,
yeah, he had the least like clouded vision when looking at everyone. I know, which I found so interesting, and like the most willing to trust and just open. It was such great character development because you really don't think you're going to end up there. Like when you start the book, my opinions were totally different. And yes. So,
except on Callum.
Oh, Callum stayed the same.
Yeah, except on Callum. Yeah.
That's the one thing I'm like really concerned about in the second book. I'm like, I don't want to know more about Callum. I want Callum to go away.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think any of them are going anywhere, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think they're all going to survive.
I think they will remain the Alice Six.
Me too. Okay. What's our actual first question?
That was it.
Oh, okay.
Well, no.
I hadn't even read it.
The first,
I was like, which one do you think you're most similar to?
Yes. I don't like that.
You don't like that?
No.
You don't want to say who you're most similar to?
I'll say it. I think I'm most similar to Raina.
Me too.
I think I'm not super friendly at first, but you know, I got good in my heart. But I'm also just, you know, I think I'm a little closed of a book at first.
Yeah, I think I can be pretty observant of things and mm-hmm. people. Like I can sense when people's emotions change and shift and like what they're feeling in the sense.
So I'm definitely more of an observer. Like yeah. I always tell people I'm not a leader or a follower. I just want to be on my own. And that's kind of what Raina was. She wasn't like in a group. She wasn't supporting anyone. She was just looking at things from her yeah. own perspective.
And I would like to say my mind is not like clouded by like a certain like drive or opinion. Like if I was in that situation, I'd definitely be one of the people just like kind of sitting back and watching and forming mm-hmm. my own opinion through that observation.
Yeah.
I guess I'd probably choose Libby because I'm a rule following tryhard.
I could see it.
So
yeah, that's
probably where I'm a people pleaser.
Yeah, it's
probably Libby. I'm kind of boring.
I would say
that you're likable, Libby.
Yeah, yeah. You're less like, I think you're
a little bit
less,
more confident. Of a
yeah,
Libby.
A more confident Libby and probably more introverted Libby.
Okay, if anyone says Callum, cut that person off.
Yeah,
it says Callum, put them in an institution right now. That's a future serial killer right there.
All right. And if anyone says Parisa or Tristan, check in on them. They need help. Okay. So this book has this whole, you know, world building society of magicians versus normal people. And the Library of Alexandria is sort of the basis of this secret society that the Medeans are trying to get into. So what did you think of that and the sort of world at play?
I was slightly disappointed because I thought the Library of Alexandria would have more play in this. And I am so fascinated by history, and like the Library of Alexandria in general is just not well known because of Roman conquest. It's so old, Egypt and everything going on. Like it's a wonder of the world that we don't get to see. And I think that can allow for such good world building. And there wasn't really that play besides that it was like a library in Great Britain that like you could request research, but you may or may not get it. Like maybe in book two, that's when they get to explore it more because they're official members. But I will say I was slightly disappointed by the lack of connection to the Library of Alexandria.
I was also disappointed, especially like, I feel like Atlas brought Raina in, promising her all these cool old texts and stuff. So I thought it was going to be a lot more like discovering old magic and cool things in the library. And it was really not. I thought it was going to like spur some adventures, and they never leave the friggin' library house. And I don't know. The concept was interesting. The Medeans like having access to magic and the like dilemma between sharing knowledge with the world or hoarding knowledge for yourself and maintaining power that way because people aren't prepared for all the knowledge, blah, blah, blah. Like, interesting moral concept. I was looking for a little more adventure.
Yeah, I personally wasn't disappointed. I see those points for sure, but I also had no idea what the Library of Alexandria was. So maybe that's part of why I wasn't disappointed. I'm sorry.
What kind of English major are you?
I know. I'm just the most uneducated.
Have you never watched National Treasure?
I did, but I just didn't. I mean, I was a kid. I didn't remember. But the reason I wasn't disappointed is because I do feel like that's where the series is going. to me, I would compare this and like my expectations of it is like similar to ACOTAR book one and book two, where book one is about like setting the scene and book two is when you get to explore. So I'm really hoping. Also, I guess sort of my excuse for it would be you learn at the very end that the reason what's kind of guiding all of their lessons and their experimentations is Atlas wanting to literally create a new world with their abilities. I'm hoping in the second book, once, you know, more chaos ensues, more plot develops, there will be a lot more experimentation and discovery and travel.
See, I don't know if either of you have watched The Umbrella Academy, but basically a bunch of gifted humans with magical abilities who grow up in this old stuffy house with this old guy who raises them to be spectacular. And they like have all these issues, and one of them time travels. And basically what ends up happening in the actual series is they keep time traveling to try and prevent the end of the world in different time periods. And I'm like, this is just going to be that. That's kind of my thought and why I'm maybe not that interested in reading the rest.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen The Umbrella Academy, so I can't comment on that. One of the things that's really intriguing me is eventually they're all going to figure out what Alice is trying to do. And I'm really fascinated to see what happens when they find that out. I want the travel, I want the world building, I want the magic experimentation. And so I'm hoping that I get it. And I hope the series has surprised me, or not the series, the book has surprised me multiple times already. So I'm hoping that the series will continue to surprise me.
I just want it to stay magic, like Dark Academia, and not go into like apocalyptic literature.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely hoping that too. But so far, they don't really fully understand time travel. Actually, Libby's boyfriend is the only person who actually understands it. And that was another little twist.
I think it's the Umbrella Academy. And there's like one random dude who can just hop through time whenever he wants.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think it's ex-boyfriend now. But
yeah, ex-boyfriend. Whatever.
I don't know.
It's a weird situation. So you mentioned Casey. The twist that surprised you, which ones surprised you? Because there were some I did kind of guess.
So the one that they had to kill one of them, I actually thought they all just knew that. I was like, yeah. Of course. Oh, you think they're gonna predictable. Yeah, you think they're gonna bring in six of you to this hidden world and then just let one of you walk away after you know like half of its secrets? I was like, obviously someone's gonna die. So I was actually surprised that they didn't get that earlier. And I think that's kind of a mini plot hole, almost that they didn't. But I was really surprised by like the Parisa, you know, fake suicide. I was surprised that Atlas's ultimate goal is to literally like be a god and create a new world. I'm trying to remember what else happened. I wasn't surprised that they all decided to kill Callum, but I was surprised by how they all came to that and how they got everyone on board. I knew Ezra had to be important somehow because he kept coming up, but I was surprised by how he connected to everything. Yeah,
I guess I knew Ezra would be super important because she kept saying he's powerful, or Nico kept saying like, oh yeah, no, like he's nobody, he's not good enough for you because like he's not powerful per se. And she's like, no, he has power. I was like, okay, then he's something secretive and powerful. I did not realize how he connected to Atlas. That was a surprise, which I think no one could probably guess that. That's quite a long shot guess if you could guess that.
You got it when Ezra was talking about something. Well, yeah, when Tristan saw the long-haired person, I was like, that's frigging Ezra.
Yeah.
And then there's like that weird interjection that's like Atlas and some guy talking about things. And they were like, okay, I see it now.
Yeah.
I was not surprised that Atlas ended up being a villain.
No.
No. Yeah.
I was sort of surprised about his angle because it was like very drastic.
I kind of guess he wanted to destroy the world.
I would say the best choice was the Parisa. I was like, yeah, that's crazy. The best twist was the Parise at Callum twist.
Yeah.
I would also throw in the, we don't quite know the revelation of this twist, but the fact that Atlas has somehow trapped Dalton inside his own head.
Yes.
And we don't know where that's going, but it sounds like he's a really chaotic character, like maybe the Callum of his group. And I'm interested to see what happens there. I was also surprised when Callum was supposed to die and Libby got like snatched. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I didn't expect Libby to get snatched.
Yeah, I didn't expect Callum to die, but I didn't expect Libby to just like disappear. So
yeah, agree. I'm also really fascinated by the Dalton stuff and how that's actually gonna work out.
Because was it ever revealed who he killed or that?
No, I mean, it's hard because Parisa doesn't know them and she's just kind of getting glimpses. So it's, yeah, we don't really understand what even happened or why he's like a person locked within a person now.
Right. I liked that twist of Parisa like digging through his mind. We don't know the outcome of the twist.
For sure.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, yeah. So there was a lot of twists in this book. There were some that I kind of predicted where I forget that there were other smaller twists that I didn't predict, but I kind of, I guessed Atlas was going to be the big bad. And I guessed that Ezra was going to be a big part of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just talked about him way too much. Like,
yeah.
He also the leader of some secret society guiding all of these initiates to get one of them to commit murder or all of them to commit murder is like obviously not a good guy. But yeah, I felt like there were enough other twists. I felt like that was almost.
Yeah. And they also ended up tying in Gideon's mom and Tristan's dad in at the very end.
Yeah.
Without like further explanation, just like drop the bomb, you know, go on. I was like, oh.
Yeah,
I guess that's what they kept coming up to.
I'm very interested in Gideon and the whole, I'm so interested in also the whole dreamscapes and other dimensions. And I'm really interested in just how.
My interpretation was that Gideon's mom or Tristan's dad, some combo of them was, they are the ones who were asked to get the animation and like paid Gideon to go into Dalton's mind and like,
yeah,
figure it out. Happen or something. I don't know. There was something going on there. I was like, this is too much to process at once.
Right. But I'm really interested in like the other species in general. I feel like that's something they've teased that I hope is in the next book, is how like currently the magic of other species isn't valued, but that's wrong.
Prejudice even in a magical world. Well, okay, so we've mentioned all of these characters. There is a large cast of characters in this book with multiple points of views from the six main characters. What did you think about this point of view changes? And can you remember all of the cast of characters, or did it require a lot of thinking on your part?
It definitely takes a minute to remember who everyone is. That's what I struggled with the most, is they're all really distinct, but like, remembering each of their names and their backstory and what their power is and like getting that all connected to the right person was the most difficult part I felt of starting the book. But I felt like the perspective changes were really well done and you end up learning a lot about everyone because of them and what they think. And I found that interesting. So I think as far as perspective changes go, it was a really good decision, but it definitely makes the start a bit of a learning curve.
I normally hate perspective changing books because they normally come with time jumps. So I thought this was really manageable because you kind of got each of their perspectives from one point in time, or they were stacking on each other to fill in the whole story. Like, I thought it was, yes, at first you had to kind of figure out who's who and what their characteristics are, but I didn't find it that hard to keep track of because they just built on each other so much or explained everything you couldn't see from one person's perspective. And you weren't like going like, okay, it's 1950 and now it's 2014 or whatever. Like, those drive me nuts, but this one was manageable.
To be fair, we have reviewed a lot of books that have perspective and time jump changes. That seems to be a common theme on Book Talk.
I'm nodding.
Yeah. I mean, it is a little insane how many of these have popped up. And I totally agree. Like, perspective changes can be incredibly hard and can ruin a book. Honestly, this one, I think, did it well. And I don't think it could have done it without it, because honestly, if I didn't have all six perspectives, or five and a half, because Callum's is kind of iffy, I don't think I would have understood it at all. Like, I think I needed all of their perspectives in order to totally grasp all the characters. But the side characters, y'all were mentioning some characters that I had completely forgot about.
Yeah. Well, and how often are you sitting there reading a book thinking, man, I wish I knew what the other character was thinking? Like, in this, every player who has a major stake in the game, you know what they're thinking, which is really interesting and helps you kind of like not pick who you want to die or succeed, but like you kind of feel like you know what the stakes are more than like throw in like the Hunger Games. You only know what Katniss is thinking, not what the other people who might die are thinking. You know what I mean? So you're always rooting for Katniss.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it too, because I feel like they figured out different things at different times, like not just about the society, but also about each other. And that was really interesting to see how they would leverage that knowledge and, you know, keep secrets and tell people. And so, yeah, I think the perspective changes in this book were definitely necessary.
Okay. But the one part I was like struggling to get through was when everyone was figuring out the whole elimination thing, which when you're hearing the word elimination, that either means something very bad. It always means something very bad. Honestly, you should have thought that you were going to die. But like when they were slowly finding out, and like Parisa found it out first, and then it finally got down to Libby, I was just kind of like, Libby, you idiot. Like, shit.
Yeah, I was too. I mean, I kind of mentioned it a little bit before. I feel like it's almost a plot hole that they didn't put it together sooner, because they're all so smart and ruthless. I was like, really? You think that one of you is going to get to walk away at the end of this? Like, that was just crazy to me, but I just sort of ignored it.
That was the point where I was having trouble getting through it, because they were all figuring it out like within a 100-page span or something. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no, there's nothing. Out. There's nothing more boring than watching characters figure out something that should be obvious. I see your point on that one.
I love that it's always me who is like, oh, I'm ignoring this thing and just reading for pleasure. And this time it's Casey who's like, yeah, I just ignored it. It was great. Casey's, I was just like, stop doing that. Now it's her.
Yeah, I decided I was willing to accept it because I felt like it was a small enough part of the book, and you could explain it enough, like, okay, murder's a big jump. I feel like it's obvious, but I'm reading a book, so fine. I'll accept it. I don't totally think, you know, I don't think it's perfect for that reason, but I'll accept it.
We've talked about a little bit the physics / metaverse / magic and science meeting all into one. It was a slog for us to get through, but what did you kind of think? Because we've read books where it's like magic is magic and you just kind of accept it as magic. But this one seemed to have to want to prove magic through science. So what did y'all think of those sections? What did you think of adding the scientific component to magic?
Tristan is now Ant-Man and can squeeze between atoms and molecules. And I'm like, I don't know. I did still not understand the mechanics of how half the stuff was happening. So I don't know if this author really knows what she's talking about or just is really good at sounding really smart. But I was just like, nod your head and agree, because I don't know really how else to deal with it.
Tristan's power was the only one that I genuinely still feel like I don't totally grasp as a concept. I did like the sort of making magic like science aspect of the book. Like, I liked that it was like a studyable phenomenon that people researched and looked into, and there were explanations for it. It just, I think that's like a, not like a totally unique take, but slightly different. And I think it makes the book almost a little bit more realistic, because I just think that's how it would work in the real world. You know, we would study magic as if it was science. I took one class where the teacher made us read this huge article about the theory of alternate dimensions. Why do we have to read that? I don't know. But I was a freshman and it was my first semester. Also, I wouldn't have just not read it, but I read it. And I honestly am not sure I would have liked the book as much if I hadn't read it, because I actually feel like it did kind of help me a little bit understand what they were talking about, because I have read one research paper about this theory about multiple universes in actual real life science. And I do still think about the fact that science tries to justify alternate realities. That shook me as a little baby 18-year-old. But yeah, it was really
okay,
confusing.
Einstein. Okay.
I'm not saying I get it. I'm not saying I understand how it works. I'm just saying it gave me the very, very minimal basics of the idea that this could technically happen.
I do agree with Catherine in that it's kind of interesting that magic isn't just magic and accepted. And I feel like that most comes into play with Libby and Nico, because they have to study how the world works in order to make the world work for them. And I thought that was really clever. It's like they can unlock more power the more they know about how, like, the physical world works.
Yeah. I really liked the metaphysical angle of it and how they could manipulate their powers to create, like, wormholes in space. I guess my pet peeve is, and this is more of my own personal pet peeve of myself, is I just don't know enough about metaphysics and quantum mechanics to be able to fact check or verify what this author says. And I know it's supposed to be fiction, but when you're making realistic magic, I feel like it has to be based in realism, or you should make just magic be magic. Maybe that's a pet peeve.
Yeah, I also feel like it needs to start from a square one where everybody can start with you and kind of figure out, learn along the way. This is kind of just like, oh, cool, magic, and okay, here's a physics lesson, and you're like, wait, 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 and then it just moves on. Like, yeah. I feel like you gotta dumb it down for us folks.
It was not very well dumbed down, and maybe some people could just skip past it, but I guess as someone who is someone who reads very literally and wants to know everything and absorbs knowledge like a sponge, I want to know everything. And when you're making claims, I would love to hear, honestly, a physicist's perspective of this book, just to see if they think it's accurate or at all, like, in the realm of possible.
I just want to come out knowing what you were talking about. And there are still, like, black holes in this book that I am like, I understand what you were trying to tell us, but I don't understand how we got from point A to point B. And as someone like Catherine said, that reads very literally, that irritates me.
Yeah, you just kind of have to roll with the punches on it. There's no other way. I mean, unless you literally are a physicist and maybe you understand this book, but.
So yeah, anyone knows a physicist, please tell us and have them read this book and tell us if this makes sense.
Honestly, I'd listen to a whole podcast dissecting the physics of this book. I'm that nerdy. Like, I will listen to that.
Okay. The physics of destroying this overpopulated world in the book, 10 billion people, and building a new one as Atlas wants. And we're left off finding that out. We're left off. Libby disappears into the ether and Nico's trying to save her and all the other people. They're getting initiated and it just ends.
Yep.
What do you think?
I want to know more because holy shit.
I do too. This book just drops like a brick into your lap in the last 15 pages, but not totally in a bad way. For me, I really liked how it set us up for the next book, and I want to read the next book for sure.
Yeah, I'm on a 20-week waiting list for that next book. I'm very mad about that, but it's okay.
Yeah.
See, I did not like how much it all dropped at once. I was like, this was too much at one time, and I understand you're trying to make it a cliffhanger and want us to read more, but like, you didn't have to do it all in like the last chapter. That was a lot. Would I read the next one if I have time? Probably, just to find out what happens. My friend who I mentioned earlier, who like I misled with the beginning of the book and who was excited to read it and then no longer liked it, she immediately like got the next one from the library to read it because it leaves enough curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was just kind of overwhelmed with all of what was happening. It was kind of like, meh, but
yeah.
So eventually I'll probably read it.
Yeah. If me and Catherine like it, you'll read it. I feel like that's.
I think that's so interesting.
Read it and let me know.
I think it's so interesting because then it does what it intends and like gets you to read the rest of the series. I don't know if this is going to turn into a trilogy more, but the second book just came out. I think like
actually, I believe on her website, there's already a third one in the works.
That makes sense. Honestly,
it has trilogy vibes to me.
Yeah.
I think pushing it longer than that would be a mistake, but I think I would read a full trilogy.
Authors can't all be Sarah J. Maas.
It's so true. But yeah, I think that I've only seen the second book in hardcover, so it'll probably be a minute before I can read it.
Anything with a 20-week plus wait on a public library's ebook thing, it had to have come out recently.
Yeah. Releasing January 9th, 2024, The Atlas Complex.
Oh. Yeah.
She's writing like three books at once and has like five lined up, and they're not all from the series. And I was reading her website. And I was like, oh my God.
You know, so appreciate game.
Yeah, it's even more impressive considering the amount of just physics and science in this book that she could write more than one at one time, because this book, again, maybe it's like half bullshit, maybe it's only half real science, but she made it look like it was real science, so good for her.
Can I read you what she wrote under that mm-hmm. one? So book three of the Atlas series, the final installment of the Atlas Six, is forthcoming and currently under revision. Releasing January 9, 2024, in what is a very standard lead time. The Atlas Paradox had only 6 months, and I nearly killed everyone in production. So, you know, an achievable release this time.
Huh.
So she turned them around quick.
Wow.
Damn. Oh, my gosh.
Well, because, like, at least the sociological components of the book were very accurate. Like, from my college class level sociology courses, it was spot on accurate to the sociological theories of the world.
Yeah, the character dynamics, in my opinion, flawless. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, there you have it. I think that's all we got.
That's all our discussion. Do you guys have suggestions? I'm very curious.
I want to give you a super left field suggestion that it's honestly like a children's book, like very YA, but it's all I could think of when I was reading this, because I read most of the series when I was in like middle school, and it's called Alcatraz versus the Evil Librarians. Magical libraries, magical people with magical reading glasses that do different things. Very left field, look it up. It's kind of a fun little YA book. And probably takes a lot less time and is slightly less intellectual, but has like the Library of Alexandria in it.
I think that's an interesting, I haven't read those books, but that's an interesting recommendation. I think I have recommended this book before, but I'll just go ahead and do it again. It's a series, The Mysterious Benedict Society. I was obsessed with them when I was a kid, and it's like a group of very smart and creative children sort of take on big bads. And there's lots of, you know, puzzle solving and whatnot. So I think, you know, kind of similar elements, but more wholesome.
I don't know if I've recommended this on the pod, but I love the series A Discovery of Witches. It's a book series that then turned into a TV series in the UK. And it's more supernatural, more like vampires, witches, and demons, but it has a lot of more scientific components to it, and how creatures are made and how creatures interact with one another. And it's set in like 21st century London, England, and how each of these species interact. And I really loved that book series, and I did like the TV series as well. So something similar to that England vibe and also the magic side of it.
Or just watch House of Anubis.
Or that too.
Which you like can't find, so actually you can't do that because my sister has looked, trust me.
wants to rewatch?
Because I actually really wanted to rewatch it when I was still in high school, and I just could not. It was like it had been erased from the world. I was exactly like, I couldn't find it.
But here's the thing, I remember it being so promoted on Nick, like everywhere on their website.
Oh, we would like clear time to watch the weekly premiere of the episode. Like,
yeah,
it was, but yeah, it like basically doesn't exist anymore. So mystery.
Hey,
I don't know.
Hey, Nick, bring back House of Anubis.
Help some nostalgic 20 somethings out. But so hit us up if you know where to find that. Hit us up if you're a physicist who understands quantum mechanics. Hit us up if you just want to be friends. yeah, you know where to find us. Right. You know where to find us at Busy Girls Pod. And yeah, come connect with us. So I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.